This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hello, everyone. Adam Ritz here. It's The Adam Ritz Show. We're covering public affairs, and we do it with a smile with our friend Jay Baker on the phone. How's it going, Jay?
It is going great. This is my favorite time of the year. I love summer.
Summer's a great time to just, call it in at work, sort of mail it in, and just get home and relax on your back deck.
Yeah, it was funny you said that. You know, for those listening to the show, we just got out of the 4th of July holiday, very important in America as we celebrated our 250th birthday. Good on us. But it was funny. I had been sent a calendar early on that said, you know, Friday was going to be the observed day of the 4th of July holiday, which, you know, was the day before the 4th. However, when I was driving around on Friday, I said to myself, I think the world did not get that memo. Most people have been taking the week off. So it's been a great holiday.
I did notice, you're right, on Thursday, traffic was not normal. It was a little lighter. I think people thought that observance started on Thursday and Friday. And I will admit, even on Monday after the weekend, I was like, eh.
You know, I always said to myself, what's this rush hour they speak of, you know?
Yeah, holiday week, that 4th of July, it turned into a quick 5 days off for a lot of people.
Oh, it absolutely did. I kind of thought to myself, you know, we're in an era where we're trying to increase American productivity, but I thought, let's get back on track sometime in August, you know?
That works with my schedule, and I think with the 250 celebrations that were happening around the country. I know St. Louis had a big one. I'm a big Kenny Loggins fan, and he brought down the house on a stage by the St. Louis Arch right before fireworks. So wherever you were last weekend celebrating the 4th and the 250th, that celebration continues as we observe.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I did see somebody called it the bicentennial, though. Like, I saw it on a major company's website. I don't know how their marketing team blew it. I'm not here to brag and tell you I know what the term is for 250 off the top of my head, but I know it's not bicentennial. That was 200 back in 1976. Now, I've done the math, Jay, and I need to be 106 years old to make it to the tricentennial. So I'm going. That's what I'm going for. So hopefully the health advice we give on this show, after I consult with a physician, of course, will get me to 106.
I was a relatively young man when we celebrated America's 100th anniversary. No, I take that back. No, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I know why they did the bicentennial. Because
you were born in 1870.
Yes, my apologies to everybody. But in 1976, America went crazy, you know, with all kinds of holiday this and holiday that.
Yeah.
And so clearly I could see why, as we marched into America's 250th, how we can get off track a little bit about, you know, which anniversary we're celebrating and et cetera. So, well, Jay, because the reason why I bring that up is 1976 was pretty big.
What a great year. It was just a great time. For you youngins listening that weren't alive, it's too bad you missed that era of pop culture and
Well, that's kind of, now you see what I'm getting at. I mean, there was a lot going on, and pre-internet, pre-social media, all that, it was a simpler time. While there was controversy and, you know, people butting heads. It just didn't have the vitriol that we experience today.
It did not. The number one song, I saw this over the week, the number one song over 4th of July 1976 was Silly Love Songs from Paul McCartney and Wings. So if you're not familiar with that song, go stream it. It's a great tune, and it just represents what a great time to be alive it was back there in the mid-70s. Jay, there's a cool thing happening this week in Detroit on Thursday night, July 16th. It's Yacht Rock Detroit Unplugged. There are three Yacht Rock original artists that are going to be performing acoustically to help raise money for the Detroit Youth Choir and Music Giving Hope. So this is a cool evening. We always talk about using your entertainment dollar and your charitable dollar in the same bucket, and this is a great example. So for the price of a ticket, I mean, drinks, food included, there's a silent auction, and then you get to see performances by Peter Beckett from Player, who sings Baby Come Back, John Ford Coley, half of England Dan and John Ford Coley, with all his soft rock, yacht rock hits, and Walter Egan, who sang Magnet and Steel. They're going to perform acoustically. Great night planned in Detroit, right on the river downtown at a place called the Rooster Tail. And again, it benefits Music Giving Hope, which is the charity that Tito Jackson started to help youth in the music business. And specifically for the Detroit area, portions of the proceeds will go to the Detroit Youth Choir, to help these young people maybe live their dreams as a singer or a musician. So we'll put a link on our website to this. You can find more information at yachtrockdetroit.com. This charity gala is the night before a huge two-day Yacht Rock Festival at that same venue in Detroit, featuring nine bands. So if you're into 70s music, 80s yacht rock music, you'll want to check this out, yachtrockdetroit.com, and learn about their work with Music Giving Hope to raise money this Thursday night, July 16th.
Ah, yes, that is a great idea. Well, as you know, Adam, our World Cup journey, at least for America as a team, has come to an end.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the American team will not be going on to the final rounds of the World Cup Championship. But hats off to America. We are getting rave reviews for how our country has conducted the World Cup Championship. Everything from transportation to prices. However, a sour note, you and I would chuckle a little bit about this. I think Americans are prepared for concession stand pricing at any given sports venue. However, some of our European friends were not. And so that's been sort of the only hitch, has been some of the pricing for things like water. And then somebody did mention that a cup of beer at a World Cup game may cost you as much as $20. That falls under the category of you really want that cup of beer at that price.
Well, you can look at it this way too. 20 is so close to zero. That's almost free.
Carry the two. Yes, absolutely. But congratulations to everybody that has volunteered, because obviously this relies heavily on volunteers, and it does rely heavily on the overall positive effect of Americans interacting with Europeans. Have you seen the video of the German soccer fan who was moved to tears? He had missed the last train out of New Jersey. So they were playing, I think, at MetLife Stadium to get back to New York. And he was thinking, man, what am I going to do, when an American just pulled over and said, hey, do you need a ride? And he put a video up on TikTok, moved to tears, but it does show you here in America, hey, if you need a ride, here we are.
I did see similar stories to that, and I know they're going to spark lifelong friendships and relationships, the kind of stories about how someone alone on Thanksgiving gets invited to a stranger's house for Thanksgiving, and 25 years later, they've celebrated every Thanksgiving together since. So, yeah, there's some Germans that are going to be lifelong friends with some people they've met along the East Coast while they've been cheering on the World Cup. These are great stories for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very positive. Here's some great news in the tech world. Apple unveils some new iPhone child safety features, as Apple has kind of come under fire of late because they've had to raise some of their pricing significantly. They are still increasing the value of their product, and by adding child safety tools for the new parental controls designed to help American families build healthier digital habits. This is something you and I have been talking about. In fact, you and I live in a state where beginning this upcoming school year, children will not be allowed to have their portable phone devices with them during school hours.
That is an amazing development. We've been talking about that. And, you know, some people argue, how are you going to police that? There's just the phones are so prevalent. Everyone's got a phone in their back pocket and another one in their sock, a burner phone.
Yes. No, you're not incorrect. It's so funny you said that. I just recently read something about burner phones, and it's like, yeah, all of a sudden the third grader knows more about a burner phone than a criminal.
I know.
You know how that goes.
It used to be for drug dealers to be able to track their supply. Now you've got, you're right, seventh graders have a burner phone, so their mom and teacher can't see what they're texting.
Yeah, so we're going to definitely see, I think, a paradigm shift in telephones. Apparently, Apple is going to add a new Ask to Browse feature that will require kids to get permission before visiting new websites in Safari, joining the existing Ask to Buy tool. Now, the Ask to Buy tool cracks me up because you and I know this was created because game developers created a system where you could buy a game and or get it free or very affordably. But if you added features to the game, it required what they called additional purchase. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you're a kid, you hit the yes button. As a parent, you were hitting the, hey, wait a minute button. You know how that goes. So
I might need an ask to buy feature on my Amazon account. Because there are times when I'll see something cool scrolling through. I don't even want to buy it. And I just see it and go, gotta have it, buy now. And then it's delivered by 8 a.m. Maybe if there was another hoop to jump through and ask to buy, I wouldn't have bought it.
Ask to buy combined with drone delivery. So therefore, you don't have to wait barely at all. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is some really good news that Apple is rolling these items out to help parents control some of the screen time that their kids are spending.
I think it's needed for sure.
Absolutely. Getting through an airport can be a bear. Adam, you're somewhat of a frequent flyer. How would you rate the TSA experience?
Well, you know, initially, first reaction to that question, it's a necessary evil. I do value their service and think we need it. I mean, as much as you feel like you're being inconvenienced, I mean, thank God you're being inconvenienced.
Yes, I agree.
The alternative is they slack up and you get through the airport quicker, the security quicker, and then there's more dangerous things that happen on or near the plane. So, yeah, necessary evil. I'm all for it. I will say some of the technology that they've implemented has mind-blowingly gotten slower.
Interesting.
I noticed it was a year ago or so, maybe more, they put in a new X-ray system for your roller bag to go through. So you, as the traveler, walk through a metal detector. Your bag or purse or briefcase goes through an X-ray. And it seemed to be quicker before they upgraded the X-rays. Now it just takes forever. And again, I guess I'd rather have it take forever than have somebody sneak an explosive device through the TSA. So necessary evil. I do support and value their work.
Yeah, the reason why I ask you is because I know you travel quite a bit. TSA Preboard is a new system that a lot of people are enjoying, and I think it's saving some time at the checkpoints. However, Google Wallet is making some changes and adding TSA touchless ID available at over 65 airports. So basically, that amounts to Google Wallet sort of letting TSA know that you're all set to go. This touchless ID, you can add a digital ID using a U.S. passport, save the boarding pass to Google Wallet, opt in for eligible trips, use facial recognition. I love the fact that this will save time, but man, this adds a lot to it. But you and I know it's all for safety's sake, but this should reduce wait times even more. But, it's all these programs that you need to participate in. And you know what this is based on is the threat level for a significant number of travelers is quite low. Mm-hmm. But we are also concerned in our nation, and perhaps rightly so, to not make it look like we're giving any real favoritism, because favoritism kind of lends itself to, hey, wait a minute, what about me?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Absolutely. We've talked a lot about what Metallica does for a number of programs. Well, Metallica has a scholars initiative, and it has expanded now to 93 schools. They're launching a new initiative. It's the largest grant to date, with over $3.3 million. With the new schools, the roster now has 93 community colleges across the United States on its list. 15 of the new schools will receive $75,000 to exchange in the student experience within career and technical education programs. So while that's a lot of muckety-muck, it just basically rolls down to Metallica early on said, we're going to make a lot of money. Let's share it in every possible way. And they've been pretty good at helping schools.
That's fantastic. And we just love it when musicians get involved, especially the perceived, the hard rock, the bad boys of music. It warms your heart to find out someone synonymous with hard rock or heavy metal is doing a good thing or doing good works. I recently read about Dexter Holland, who's the lead singer of a band called The Offspring. You know The Offspring, of course.
Oh,
they,
sure.
Huge 90s, late 90s, early 2000s pop punk grunge, harder rock band. And famously, their first hit was the song that said, you got to keep them separated. And that's
is a great song.
The song's called Come Out and Play, but everybody just knows it and calls it, you got to keep it separated.
I know.
Well, anyway, Dexter Holland, this isn't even what I wanted to talk about, but he is a doctor. He's got his PhD in molecular biology. I don't know if you knew that. So he's a very intelligent guy. On his resume, the second most important thing is that he's the lead singer of The Offspring. He's a PhD molecular biologist. He is also a pilot. And here's what I wanted to talk about, Jay. He has been working with a service called Angel Flight. He serves as a pilot for this group called Angel Flight, where they transport patients and children with special needs to their necessary medical care. How cool is that?
No, it's very cool, and it's a great organization to get engaged with. And I know a little bit about the private pilot community, and it's a great way for pilots to help out.
Well, you know, next time you hear an Offspring song on that stream or radio station, if you roll your eyes and think, God, I don't really like this song, just think, well, the guy that sings it flies patients and kids with special needs to their medical care. So back off.
When you're flying into the airport and they're, sequencing the flights, you just key up the mic and go, you got to keep them separated.
You got to keep them separated.
This is a great story. Tony Iommi, a blacksmith, raffling off a signature Gibson SG that he used on his upcoming solo album to raise funds for the Queen Elizabeth Hospital charity. Iommi raffled off another guitar earlier this year, raised over $71,000 for the Heartlands Hospital in his hometown of Birmingham, England.
Another hard rocker doing good work.
Doing good. This is a pretty cool story. This is kind of accidental charity. A signed copy of Paul McCartney. The book is called In His Own Words, published in 1976, sold for just over $1,300 at auction after being donated to an Oxfam shop in England. The book just sat there for several months before somebody noticed that its inscription was from Paul McCartney himself. So you know how those books always get signed in the front and everyone ignores it? This particular one was signed by Paul, and the money went to Oxfam, which works worldwide to end poverty.
That is cool, too. I love these surprising stories where you find something you didn't know was there. You see what was inside it. It's a valuable piece of memorabilia that goes to raise money for charity. Love these stories.
I do, too. You know, it's just like you said, there's a new documentary that is going to come out soon about the recovery of lost instruments to rock and roll stars, and it kind of the story begins with the return of Peter Frampton's famous black Les Paul that is featured on the front of Frampton Comes Alive. And the reason why I bring that up is these things can sit there for a while and you don't realize, man, there's amazing value in Paul McCartney giving this book to someone personally, sits in a bookstore, and it's worth a lot of money to a local charity.
Well, now you've sucked me into that documentary. I've got to watch that now because I want to see how did Peter Frampton lose the guitar in the first place?
Keep an eye on that, Peter Frampton. Well, you'll appreciate this. Peter Frampton was playing in the Caribbean area. I mean, you know how that just makes it sound like, yeah, thanks, Jay. That helps. That narrows it down. He had appeared at an island. They were going to another island to perform. The plane crashed. Local authorities said aircraft was a total loss. Sadly, the pilots passed away. However, some guys sort of came through the jungle, hacked through the jungle, found the aircraft and realized, hey, wait, there's a bunch of musical equipment on this airplane. So they helped themselves to it, including Peter Frampton's guitar.
Okay, so...
And so Peter Frampton's guitar kind of made its way around. I mean, when you hear these stories, you kind of go, it's absolutely amazing that a random set of circumstances could present themselves in the case of Frampton's guitar, one of the thieves gave it to a relative who played it. Believe it or not, the relative was like one of these guys, lounge singer guys. He was playing at a local hotel on an island, and somebody realized, hey, that's not just any guitar. That's a three input Gibson, and there's not many of those that have been made. So how did you get this guitar? And then it kind of came up, well, I got it from a friend who knew a friend who knew a guy. And a guitar collector intervened, and the next thing you know, they're giving Peter a call and saying, we found your guitar.
That, and I'm fairly well versed in music trivia. I did not know this. Jay, you were a classic rock and still are a classic rock disc jockey. Is that a well-known story?
It has become a well-known story, and I think more people will know of it once this documentary comes out. There's actually, kind of as a sidebar, a fairly famous story about Paul McCartney's Hofner bass, which he parted company with shortly after the rooftop concert for the Beatles. Are you familiar with the rooftop concert?
I don't know that concert, but I do know that famous bass you're talking about.
Yeah, there was a performance from the Beatles, sort of their last live performance, where they performed from the roof of Apple headquarters in London.
Okay.
And a fairly famous performance of Get Back and Let It Be. They performed on the rooftop. Well, as the roadies disbanded the instruments, somebody laid Paul's Hofner bass aside and it went missing.
Oops.
And it took, I think, 20 years, 25 years for people in the music industry to piece together where this bass went and who it ended up with. And it was returned to Sir Paul.
Yeah, I'm watching this documentary. You sold me on it. Good job, Jay. That was a great sales job. Are you an investor in this documentary?
Yeah.
Are you getting royalties?
Please watch it. Every time you watch it, I get $1.73.
All right. They should have you narrate this thing. Do the voice. You told some great stories there.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Hey, you'll appreciate this. World Cup comes to town. Lots of people chowing down. A North Jersey charity has been working to donate World Cup leftovers.
Oh, good.
It's a charity known as Table to Table. It's based in Saddlebrook, launched an effort called Kick Hunger out of New Jersey. The charity's tour van is going across the state to different party venues, not only World Cup, but as you well know, anything else that's going on, and making sure that surplus food is going to local food drive partners. It's an effort that is going to not only provide the hungry with food, but this is interesting. There's an actual problem with the amount of food that is going into scrap into landfills. This is why you want to listen to the show. This is something that I don't think I ever knew before.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that either.
So, yes, when you go to a social event and you pass on that third dessert, it might end up in a landfill.
That's why I never pass, Jay, on that third or even fourth dessert. Jay, thank you so much for coming on today, sharing your insights and your stories about long-lost musical instruments. I cannot believe that story about Peter Frampton's guitar, and I had never heard that it was lost in a plane crash in the Caribbean for years, and he's now been I bet he sleeps with it at night now that he's got it back.
He probably does, yes.
All right, if you want to hear this show or any of our past shows in podcast on-demand form, they are on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.